buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, off and running on Friday, March 15th, 2024. On this date in 44 BC, Julius Caesar was assassinated by a group of nobles led by a couple of dudes. I think you know probably one of their names, don't you? Pretty well known.
Couple of dudes.
Well, a couple of. Well, you know Brutus, right? Brutus and Cassius.
Et tu, Brute?
Yeah, there you go. Beware today of the Ides of March. All right.
Oh, those salad days.
Yeah, Dylan Smith joining me in studio. Great to have you here, Dylan.
Always a pleasure.
We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on this March 15th. Green Things and Zocalo Village, we love what they do and their work, and we thank them for their naming rights to our studio, which is part of the growing Bustos Media presence here in town. We have five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We're now in our 14th year with our radio program and our 36th year here involved with Tucson Media. We have our worldwide live listening and the podcasts. We've got tremendous amount of content, 13 years of content at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, a couple of media shout-outs on Friday. One of them I can do right in person to Dylan Smith, the co-founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support.
And back at you, sir.
Also want to thank Green Valley News and Saharita's Sun, that's Dan Shear's operation. Our Friday Focus interview on our Buckmaster Show, David Coulier, director of the Breckner Freedom of Information Project, which is part of a newly named Breckner Center for the Advancement of the First Amendment at the University of Florida, the one-time director of graduate students at the University of Arizona School of Journalism, and past president of the Society of Professional Journalists. David Coulier is a leading authority on freedom of information. He's also the current president of the National Freedom of Information Coalition. So that sounds like a very appropriate guest, Dylan, to join us during Sunshine Week, which is a nonpartisan collaboration among groups in journalism, education, government, and private sectors that shines a light on the importance of open government and public records. Dave, welcome back to our program. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. First time caller, long time listener.
There you go. tell us a little bit about Sunshine Week. How many years have we been doing this, and why is it especially important this year, Dave?
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate this. So Sunshine Week's been around 19 years now. It started actually in Florida as Florida Sunshine Sunday and kind of expanded nationally. And it's all about really just helping people understand their rights to government information, not just journalists or, you know, special interests, but I mean, average people. They're through public records laws to see what's going on. How is their money, their taxes being spent? Are they doing a good job for us? So we now at the Breckner FOI project here in Florida, we coordinate Sunshine Week starting this year. It's been a lot of fun. We're coming into the end here. It ends tomorrow. But we're going to keep it going year-round because we think it's really important people know what's happening in their government.
And it's harder and harder to get the information out. Is that a safe assessment?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the research that we do, that I've done, really shows a straight line headed downward over the past 10, 15 years toward government secrecy. I mean, it's getting worse every year. The data shows it. Even the U.S. Department of Justice data shows it's getting harder and harder for people to get records out of their government. And my own data shows that. I mean, 10 years ago, if you wanted to get a public record out of a government agency in this country, you'd get it about half the time. Well, now it's down to about 13% of the time. And it does not bode well for people who want to hold their government accountable.
Dylan Smith, you've had a lot of experience in this area trying to get information through those Freedom of Information requests. Do you echo pretty much what Dave Coulier is saying?
Certainly. Just during this week, Sunshine Week, although, Dave, you should know, here in Tucson, ironically, at the end of Sunshine Week, it's overcast and drizzling.
Yep.
Which is maybe a little bit appropriate for about the state of things. I mean, you know, we've been working very hard just this week to get certain records out of certain local government officials, and predictably enough, they don't want to give them over, even though they belong to us, the people. Anyone should be able to walk in and ask for them and receive them promptly, the law says, although it doesn't define what that is. But they stall and stall and stall and stall. You know, there are records that we have asked for some from some local government that they have not turned over for years, even though they should have done it that very day. They just drag their feet and hope we forget about it, and we're not going to forget about it.
And they can do this, and the only way to kind of put a light under their whatever is to sue legal action? Or
correct. Okay. And that gets pretty expensive, pretty quickly. And then what they can do, actually, is that there's an enforcement mechanism where if they lose a public records case, they have to pay the legal bills for the person who sued to free them up. So what sometimes happens is, you know, you'll spend a ton of money on lawyers and go through a whole legal case, and then at the very last minute, they'll just give you the records, and then you're on the hook for all that money. They don't have to pay for your lawyer.
Dave, I'm curious. You kind of look at the big picture. Dylan's giving us some very good examples here in Tucson, Arizona. Big picture, does this vary widely by state to state?
Yeah, it actually does. You know, there's some states where it's not so bad. You know, Washington State, Idaho, you get what you ask for about 2/3 of the time, which is still a D in my grade book, but, you know, that's the best that we can do in America. It goes all the way down to 10% in Alabama, and a lot of the southern states, really poor compliance. If you go in and ask for something, you're going to have a hard time. I mean, simply, the system's stacked against the average person. You know, you shouldn't have to hire a lawyer to have the government follow the law. Now, of course, there's good reasons for certain records to be secret, right? National security and privacy, health records, of course, you know, that should be secretive. But what we're seeing are records that should be out in the public that help us understand what's going on, that exposes corruption or other things that we should know, or even just help us buy a house or background a date or whatever, you know, basic living. It's harder and harder to get that information. And, you know, that's troublesome because in a democracy, a republic, we're in charge, you know. We should know what our representatives are doing. So it's definitely a problem. And unfortunately, it's not getting better. And there are fewer forces at work in pushing back.
Here in Arizona, we have what stacks up as, at least on paper, a pretty good law of both about public records and open meetings, which is another important point about transparency in government. And Florida does it well, but there are states that do not have good laws at all. Can you run us down like a quick comparison of that, Dave Coulier?
All right, yeah. Number one, what the research shows, what you talked about, Dylan, mandatory fee shifting. That's really important. States that have that, and it's only about 1/3 of the states. When you sue, you'll get your attorney fees, and that can hurt small agencies and be embarrassing. So it makes them pay attention a lot more, as well as penalties. Like Washington State, they could assess hefty fines for breaking the law, as they should. And so, you know, government folks are going to pay attention to law a little bit more. But we need more than that. We need independent entities that can take up your beef with the government for no cost, no lawyer. You just go in, say, hey, I'm entitled to this information by law. They won't give it to me. Help me out. They make a determination. If you're right, they force the government to give you the information. You don't have to go to court. They have that in Connecticut. They have it in Pennsylvania, Ohio, sometimes in Illinois, and more than 60 countries around the world. Why don't we have that here throughout the country? So that would go far to leveling the playing field for giving rights to the average person, just to see what their government's doing. So those are just a few things that they could do to improve the system if they wanted. But you know what? Once you get in office, in power, it's funny, you know, that doesn't seem so attractive, having people find out how you're spending taxpayer dollars.
For sure.
You know, they often, when folks run for office, will say, oh, I'm working for the people, and I want open government and accountable government. And that's all well and good to get elected, but often when they get elected, the attitude changes, because then it's less convenient, because it's not easy when you have people hounding you and criticizing you and trying to find out what you're doing. I get it. It's not easy, but that's what you signed up for when you ran for office.
Quite often, even if a government agency is acts as if they are willing to turn over records, and you know, even if they are, it can be absurdly expensive in some instances. We had a story we've been working on recently where the Pima County Sheriff's Department wanted close to $2,000 for some public records.
Hmm.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Fees are another huge problem all across, copy fees. Now you'd think, hey, why should I pay tax dollars for someone else to get records? You know, user fee, right? Well, that makes sense, but here's the reality. Less than 1% of the actual cost of processing public records is covered by fees. They don't do anything. They don't make a dent in it. Instead, how they're used is a way to either get people to go away they don't like. I don't know, you can have those records. It'll be $10,000. Venmo us. Or as a way to narrow a request that may be overly broad. And we have to come up with other ways to handle that. It shouldn't be through fees, because what's happening is they're used, the law's used as a tool of secrecy, ironically, not transparency. And so that's another issue that we're having to deal with.
We're speaking with David Coulier. David is the director of the Breckner Freedom of Information Project, part of a newly named Breckner Center for the Advancement of the First Amendment at the University of Arizona. Dylan Smith is with me. He's my co-media host for the week. Dylan is editor and co-founder of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com, and I think are you now past president of the Arizona Press Club?
I am thankfully relieved of that awesome responsibility, although I'm still on that board.
And he is the past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dave, stick around. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with you, Dave Coulier, on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dave is calling in from his post at the University of Florida. Right now, Dylan, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Have you heard about the enhancement that they now have up at Mona's?
What is the latest?
The latest is the liquor license was applied for. It was granted and is now being utilized. You could have a beer with your lunch. They're pouring domestic. I think they're doing a couple of domestics that I think one of them's Firestone out of Pasas Robles. They're also doing Peroni, the Italian beer. They've got that by the bottle. And, of course, with your breakfast, you could do, they've got a wide assortment of wines, some champagnes. You could do the Mimosa with your breakfast. An added enhancement to get you into Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Dylan, any final thoughts about Mona's?
Well, you know, it's a kind of, it's a little bit chilly out there, kind of a gray mm-hmm. day. Just a nice, great cup of coffee to warm me up, kind of look out the window at the mist playing on the mountains. I think that's what I'd be in the mood for.
There you go. All right, we'll take a pause right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back with segment number two.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Dylan Smith joining me in the studios. Dylan, the co-founder of the very successful TucsonSentinel.com. David Coulier is with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dave is the director of the Breckner Freedom of Information Project. It's part of a newly named Breckner Center for the Advancement of the First Amendment at the University of Florida. We spent the first segment talking about requests for information. Once folks get those requests, there can be fewer journalists around to actually take a look at those requests. The numbers were not good, Dave, in 2023. 2,700 job cuts among news outlets. That's the highest number of job cuts in the industry since 2020, which was a very bad year. Of course, the pandemic upended journalism, the world of journalism, created even more problems. What is your take here on the state of the industry, Dave?
Well, it's in a bad state. I mean, the numbers tell it all. I mean, they're just struggling, and for a whole variety of reasons. And a lot of people say, well, so what? You know, they're a bunch of fake news jackals anyway, right? So what harm is that going to cause society? Well, unfortunately, it's going to cause real harm to everybody's lives. I mean, one economist calculated that for every dollar spent on public affairs journalism, investigative reporting, society benefits $287. That's a huge return on investment. We're talking saved lives, lower taxes, you name it. And in fact, today I was just crunching some data, some new stuff I got, and I found that in places in America, counties where they've lost newspapers, they call them news deserts nowadays, there's about 200 of them in the country, no news. What I did is cross it with my transparency data, and I find that where there are failing news operations or no news, the government's the most secretive. It's less likely to provide information to the public. It knows it can get away with saying no and hiding because there's no one to fight. There's no one to push back. And newspapers and journalists have traditionally held that role for years. And now as they disappear, we don't have that force to push back against government secrecy as much anymore. And, you know, if we believe in democracy and government accountability, I think that's problematic.
Yeah, there's a direct correlation between having journalism in your community and having lower taxes. Your taxes go up if you don't have reporters paying attention to the government, because bond rating agencies like Moody's end up rating your town, your city, your county worse. So you have to pay higher rates on your bonds if you don't have reporters in that place checking up on things. There's a direct correlation between what you pay in taxes and how many reporters you have looking into things.
Then you've got the trust factor. There's been a 9-point decrease just in the past 4 years of Americans who would rate journalists as being trustworthy as high or even very high, according to the Gallup survey, Dave. Those numbers, the trust factor is huge. Where do you think that's coming from? The mantra among some about fake news, is that starting to erode the trust factor?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are a lot of factors that have just grown over the years. I mean, part of it's self-imposed. Of course, there have been journalists who have done bonehead moves. And then, of course, the crumbling of the industry, the economic model, has led to worse journalism. I mean, just take a look at your local newspaper. It's a shell of what it used to be 10, 20 years ago. And, you know, that's just a reality of the market now. So I understand why people are more skeptical of legacy news or journalists and just what they see in the movies, right? They're usually not portrayed very well. But, what do we do about that down the road? I mean, someone's got to go find out what's going on in the community and tell everybody in a factual and straightforward and in a way. I mean, and you know what? We could spend a lot of money creating news and saving it, but what if nobody wants to read it or listen to it? To me, that's more scary. What if there is less demand for factual quality news? You can make a lot of it, but if nobody will want it, then what's the point? And then we're really in trouble if Americans start just closing their eyes and ears to what's going on around them. And that's probably even more scarier.
I think a lot of that play, there's the hollowing out of journalism at the local level has led to a nationalization of civic discourse, where so much attention gets paid to things that are going on at the federal level and not as much at the community level. And people are much more polarized about whether you're a Democrat or a Republican and who you agree with and which national candidate you're a fan of. And people break down along those partisan lines. And then they don't like reporters who may tend to, favor one side or the other. At the local level, it's more about just facts. Here's what's going on. Here's what the city council is about to do next week. Here's what the Board of Supervisors did last week. Just facts. And not so much of that partisan discourse. But as we have less and less of that, people start to, filter their experience of the news just more and more through that national lens.
Dave?
Yeah, Dylan's absolutely right. I mean, we see that in all the research. People do tend to trust their local news outlet, particularly if they've listened to it or watched it or read it for a long time, more so than the national news. And man, the discourse is so harsh nowadays. It's really, people don't know what to turn to, right? I get that question all the time. What should I read? What should I look to? And people have a hard time agreeing on even what is news or not. So I don't know. We gotta figure out as a nation how we're gonna come together and agree to a fundamental basic core of reality and facts that we can agree has some grounding. So I don't know. If I had the solutions, I'd be rich.
Dave, what does your research show, David Coulier? Where are people getting their news these days? Social media, the internet, and how reliable are those areas? Where are they getting the news?
Well, that's what they say in the studies and surveys. They say, I get my news from Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever. And what they're seeing is just links to stories. Some are legit, some are not. And it's just why the Russians can manipulate us, right? They create all sorts of social media stuff, sending us to places that may not be accurate. And so I don't think people realize what's behind the legitimate news that they make seem links for. Someone's got to produce that. It takes time. It takes work to go out and talk to people and get public records and sift through it and make sense of it and write it up. And, it's not easy. And if those folks who are doing that disappear, which they are in huge numbers, then there will be no links from Facebook to anything that's legitimate. It'll just be links from Russian bots to fake news. And we're going to be running low on actual quality news if we don't watch out. And thankfully, we have like the Tucson Sentinel and AZ Luminary and various folks in Tucson to try to try to keep covering this and what's going on in town. And the Star, those folks work hard. There's a lot fewer of them, but they're working their darndest. What the future holds is what we need to look to the Dillons and the others to fill the gaps.
And Dylan,
the chains are leading.
I'd like to get Dylan's take on that, the way he has seen that particular segment of the industry grow and in his experience over about the last 14 years. Dylan, you were kind of one of the insiders on this, one of the early folks who believed there was an audience online.
Well, the Tucson Sentinel was one of the very first nonprofit, local, independent news outlets in the entire country. We started 15 years ago and have managed to keep growing, especially with the support we get from folks in this community who understand that it's so important to have independent watchdogs holding local government accountable and just telling the story about what makes Tucson and Southern Arizona such a special place that we all love to live in. And around the country, you know, like the organization I helped found not long after I started the Sentinel was Lion Publishers, local independent online news publishers. And that started at a journalism conference in Chicago with about a dozen of us sitting around a table having a couple of drinks. And it is now an organization with more than 500 news outlets across the U.S. and Canada now who are working at rebuilding local news in pretty much the same way we are here at the Sentinel. Some of them are for-profit. Many of them are non-profit like we are. But, you know, people who are in their community, invested in the success of their communities, as opposed to the legacy chain media operations that have really been taken over by bean counters who just want to squeeze out every last nickel they can right now, instead of paying attention to the future that whatever news organization they own.
Dave Coulier, you talked about 200 deserts, news deserts in the country, and I'm wondering if that's kind of deserts that would one time had a traditional kind of print newspaper, and I'm wondering if those areas are some of those areas are seeing growth from like what Dylan's doing with his online publication.
Well, in certain areas, certainly, there are parts of the country where these are growing, and we need more of them. But actually, they're finding the opposite. These counties keep getting dropping off like flies. And in fact, now they're starting to measure the counties that are at the tipping point, about to lose their media, and that's a growing number. So, no, this isn't going to end anytime soon. I mean, there was one survey I heard that I saw the results of last fall where they surveyed executives of local newspapers and asked them how they're going to be in a couple of years, and a third of them said out of business. So, you know, this is going to accelerate. It's not now, I don't have any sympathy for the chains. Having worked for chain newspapers in a past life, greed has been one of the, and there's nothing wrong with greed, mind you. You know, that's their business to make money, corporations, public corporations. But they shouldn't be doing journalism, because it's not about widgets. It's about serving the public. And so, you know, their greed has, in large part, as well as other forces, of course, have led to this situation we're in now, and we have to figure out solutions. You know, we have to support independent people who want to serve their community, and we have to support, we have to experiment with different things. You know, maybe it involves the universities helping out, maybe it involves public media, maybe it involves philanthropy. I don't know. I mean, everybody's trying all sorts of things, and we got to keep at it, because it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But, you know, I have faith in people in our country. And I think if we work at it and people want to make this a good place, and we can do that.
We haven't talked about at one time people in this country got their news from television and radio broadcasting. Is that a diminishing area of people turning to for their news, David?
Yeah, what we're hearing is we're going to start seeing communities that only have one network TV station. Of course, most have three now, right? Mm-hmm. And public television, just like in Tucson. But they're feeling the squeeze as well. And there's going to be a day when you're lucky if you'll have a TV station nearby. Maybe we'll have one station in Phoenix covering Arizona in the future, and it certainly won't be the 6 o'clock news you turn on to before or after Wheel of Fortune. It'll probably be online, and it's all merging anyway. So there's going to be a lot of change, a lot of upheaval. I don't know where it's going to fall, but the television world and radio world is changing rapidly. I think I haven't looked at the latest Pew figures, but I think radio is actually doing okay, relatively. But you would know better than me, I think.
No, I think you're right. I think we have kind of stabilized right now, which is good news for those of us in the radio business. Dylan, a couple of final thoughts before we let Dave go about his business in Florida.
Yeah, quickly. It took us a long time to get into this situation, especially regarding local news. A couple of generations, really. It's people are starting to notice the, you know, very significant difference and the pace of change and decline in so many places. But this mess, you know, took a while for us to end up in, and it's going to take a while across the country for us to get out of. And I think, Dave Collier, you're right that people supporting truly local, independent news outlets is what's vital and going to see us through. And in fact, there's an effort going on right now with the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, which just awarded their first round of grants to six news organizations across Southern Arizona, from Nogales to Tucson to Yuma, and the Tucson Sentinel was one of those. And that funding, which was mostly raised here in Tucson and Southern Arizona, will help us leverage hiring another couple of reporters for the Sentinel this year. Of course, we're going to need even more support to actually pull that off long term and keep growing. So, the more people support us as a local nonprofit newsroom, the more we can restore that access to information and make sure that we have a, knowledgeable, healthy community discourse about things.
All right. That was good. That's good news. I did not know that. That's the first time they've done anything like that, that
it's
organization.
It's right? Brand new here. There's a kind of a national effort going on with trying to involve more local community foundations across the country in understanding just how important local news is to a healthy community.
All right, David Collier, a final thought from you before we say goodbye.
Well, if anybody wants to learn more about access to information, their rights, go to sunshineweek.org, sunshineweek.org, and feel free to check out our resources to let us know. And dang, I moved from Tucson in July to here, and I miss it so much. You guys, everybody there, you're so lucky to live in Tucson.
You're in a swamp, man.
Don't take those beautiful mountains and desert for granted. I can't wait to visit as soon as I can.
But Dylan's saying you've got alligators.
True. Alligators are kind of cool. Are rattlesnakes and javelinas.
All right. Thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
David Collier, director of the Brechner Freedom of Information Project. It's part of a newly named Brechner Center for the Advancement of the First Amendment at the University of Florida. I've got a few items for Dylan Smith. We'll cover those after we take our break, and then we'll have segment three.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to David Coulier down at the University of Florida. David is an expert in all things about freedom of information and the First Amendment. And Dylan Smith with me from TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan knows Dave very well. And it was a big loss, I thought, for our community when Dave moved out of town, but at least we can still do stuff with him over the phone. Anyway.
You know, he is certainly one of the top experts when it comes to especially public records, and not just reporters being able to get them, but the public at large and our ability to know what the heck is going on in government.
All right, I got about 5 minutes with you, and there are about three items I want to cover. First of all, Tim Tom, you're the assistant city manager of the city of Tucson, looks to be on a fast track to replace Mike Ortega. I think that personally, I know Tim, and he's been kind of been groomed for this job for a couple of years. If he's as qualified as I believe he is, and a lot of other people, why not? I say.
Well, it's certainly City Manager Mike Ortega who told us a couple months ago that he would be leaving once this next year's budget is set, so probably mm-hmm. around the end of June, early July, has been setting up Tim Tomier, giving him increasing levels of responsibility, oversight over more departments, kind of his, the person he's been intending to be his successor. It is... certainly a different situation for the city council to be, putting on the agenda, making this person the next city manager months and months before the person retires. And in the past, they've waited until someone retired, or sometimes they've been forced into, a much different process where someone either quit suddenly or was fired very abruptly.
Yeah. remember that. If we've been around a while,
this kind of pattern and, not conducting a big search and, going through tons and tons of interviews with various committees and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is a different tactic for the council.
Ward 6, Steve Kasachek, a longtime Ward 6 councilman, is moving on, going to work for this sports project that is in Pima County that could involve a new ice rink and other things. It's called the Tucson Mosaic Project, I believe.
Mosaic Quarter.
Thank you. Okay. Who are some of the names that the council might consider for filling the remainder of his year and a half term?
That came as kind of a surprise that Kasachek mm-hmm. is leaving office very soon to go work for Pima County to be kind of the government side with oversight over this public-private partnership. But, a lot of people were suggesting themselves this week as potential appointees to serve out that term.
As placeholders?
Some folks have said they would like to, just be the interim and, mm-hmm. Fill that seat and not run for election. And former Councilwoman Nina Traisoff said she's very interested in that. Ted Przelski, who's a longtime council aide and our soccer correspondent at the Sentinel, said he would be interested in being the interim. Some other folks would be a little bit more likely to want to be appointed and then run, perhaps. Miranda Schubert, who primaried Kozacek in the last election, said she's interested. Shaq McCoy is another name. TUSD governing board member Ravi Shah, former Pima Democratic chair Cheryl Cage. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have floated themselves. We'll see. Well, first, what kind of process the council sets up to, you know, have people apply and be interviewed, and then whether they decide they want someone to, you know, be an actual, just an interim and not give somebody a leg up in this appointment, or if they want someone who is, would be kind of the favorite running as an incumbent.
24 years, Pima County Treasurer Beth Ford has been in that position, says that's enough. She's resigning. And she's urging the Board of Supervisors to appoint her Chief Deputy Treasurer, former state lawmaker Chris Ackerley.
This is one that did not come as so much as a surprise. No. Beth Ford told us last July that she would probably be resigning sometime in this term, and that she was already, you know, trying to prep Ackerley, her Chief Deputy in that office, to be her successor. Whether the, you know, Board of Supervisors, which is dominated 4-1 by Democrats, wants to choose a Republican who will be running in the next election. Ackerley has already filed
and
to run.
And might have an inside track if he is appointed.
Yeah, yeah. You know, being running as an incumbent,
it's,
you know,
a huge advantage.
It's a big leg up. And whether they want to, you know, give a Republican, and it needs to be a Republican, they have to, you know, replace the elected Republican with someone from the same party. You know, will they do that? And then, you know, kind of undercut the Democrats who want to run in that race. We'll just have to see how that works out. But I'm sure they've been thinking about it for a bit, because it's been months and months and months since Ford signaled that this would happen. Now it's just actually taking place.
All right. Where can people find out more about your particular product, which is TucsonSentinel.com?
Well, you know, come on over to the Sentinel, especially on our website. You can sign up for our email newsletters, our watchdog updates.
Is there a firewall or
a paywall? No,
paywall.
You know, we're a nonprofit, and it's our mission to inform everybody in this community, whether they are giving us money or not. But certainly, we rely on people in Tucson who support us. You know, we have some of the most experienced professional reporters in Southern Arizona. Jim Ninsel, who is a household name, is one of our government reporters. Folks like Blake Morlock, Paul Ingram, Bianca Morales. You know, we have some amazing journalists out there digging into things, and we got to make sure that they can, you know, keep a roof over their heads and shoes on their feet. And so this costs money. You know, sometimes a ton of money when we spend months and months and months or even years reporting on a story. So people can pitch in, go to TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog and sign up and become a member of the Watchdog Club, and make sure that independent news in Tucson is growing.
I'm a member of the Watchdog Club.
You are indeed.
A proud member. Thank you very much, Dylan.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll look forward to your next appearance here on the show. Thank you. All right. Dan Gibson is our weekend watch guy. He is on the live line waiting to go on right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
All righty then, Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Tons of things to do, a lot of outdoor activities, hiking, just hanging out in historic Silver City. Find out more on those things to do, places to stay, great places to eat as well. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org for more information before you make the road trip over to Silver City. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Dan Gibson. Dan, how was your week?
Oh, it was fine. Yeah, it was all right. I'm ready for the weekend.
All right.
Ready to push on through. Set a whole new experience.
Tempt us with some things to do this weekend, my friend.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but it's St. Patrick's Day is Sunday, so Tucson goes all out, like most communities. It's a doubleheader. Well, not a doubleheader. You have options with your Irish music choices tonight. You could see all more traditional act, Altan, at Fox Tucson Theater. That shows at 7:30 p.m., and you can purchase tickets on their website. Or you could see raucous, punk-influenced Flogging Molly at the Rialto Theater. So two sides of the same coin, both Irish-influenced acts, but they're both playing tonight. So you gotta pick one. Sorry, there's no option. You can't pull them both off.
Both of them are darn good.
But
I know
if
that.
Your thing is,
yeah. All right.
Yeah, there you go. You can't lose.
Nope,
really,
can't lose. What else?
St. Patrick's Day Parade is this Sunday.
Yeah.
If anybody knows me, they know I love a parade. So that's happening on March 17th. The parade is at 10:30 a.m., and then the festival is from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Armory Park. But you can start it bright and early at 8:15 a.m. with what is being called a Desert Leprechaun 5K run and walk.
Okay.
I assume you're being chased by the leprechaun. I don't know for sure, but there's something happening there. But then after the parade, there are bands playing basically all day long, including the McGuire Academy of Irish Dance, Nancy McCallion, the Big Fellas, and more. You can find out all about that at TucsonSt.Patrick'sDay.com.
I'll take a quick one, a third quick one for me.
All right, great. You know, there's a chef, Otis Baldwin, who's working over at Bada, and he's been doing these pop-up dinners, which I seem to be missing over and over again, including this one on Monday. But he's taking over Anello Pizza on Monday. Anello's usually closed on Monday, and serving a special dinner. It's wines by the glass, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., a four-course set menu with options available for vegan and vegetarian diners. It is only $35 per person, and there's no reservation needed, including a porchetta with a sauce grabiche and chicory. It all looks very good. Plated to share should be a pretty good time.
Very making me hungry here. It is. I haven't had my lunch, so there you go, Dan Gibson.
Oh yeah, well you gotta.
Dan,
you gotta get it. Nutrition's important, Bill.
Have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. Thanks, Dan.
I will. You too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Have a great weekend, everybody.